My guests this evening are Michael Bath and Sarah Mackey, two local professional actors who frequently perform at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati. While the rest of us have been enjoying our Thanksgiving weekend, they've been hard at work rehearsing the opening this week of Ensemble Theater's holiday production of Alice in Wonderland at the Over the Rhine Theater. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start with the tradition that you're involved in here. For, I'm going to say, about 15 years, maybe longer, Ensemble has staged holiday musicals that are based on fairy tales. This is, in fact, the fourth time around for Alice in Wonderland. And I wonder if you could each talk a little bit about your previous experience with this. Sarah, let's start with you.
I joined ETC the year after they first did this, which I guess they did in 1998. And when I moved back here in 2003, I was Tweedledee. And then when we did it again in, I believe, 2008, I played the Cheshire Cat, who I'm also reprising this time.
Okay. And when you were here first in 98, you were a member of the intern company.
I was. I was in 99, actually. Yeah. I did it the next year. Yeah.
Okay. And so we should also mention that in addition to a goodly number of local actors who are professionals who are involved in this, a lot of the interns who are there throughout the year in often less visible roles, shall we say, mm-hmm. really get a chance to be showcased in this production.
Absolutely.
Michael, what about you?
Well, I interned at the Ensemble in 1991, so it's kind of a tradition now. The first show that I did, I get to be the White Rabbit, which did again last time and now again this time.
Keep working on getting it right. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. It's a little different every time.
Yeah. It's always late.
Well, that's an important question that you raise, actually, that I want to ask you each a little bit more about. So this is a show that's been done a couple times now. In fact, Ensemble, with this holiday tradition, they now have a repertoire of, I have to think it's five or six at least, shows that can be cycled through based on fairy tales. But some of you come back and sort of routinely play roles. But I suspect it's not a matter of just saying, all right, well, let's dust off the White Rabbit costume and I'm going to be ready
to plow through it one more time.
There you go. So can you talk a little bit about maybe the differences since you're both playing roles that you played in 2008? What's a little different this time around? Sarah, do you want to?
Two biggest differences are, I mean, the people that are surrounding you. We have a different Alice, for one thing, which she's on the stage the whole time. We have different cards, everything else. Also, the set is different from previous years. I get a lot more opportunity to be a little more athletic as a cat, which is kind of nice. Those are the two biggest differences. And with the change in the cast is a change in the vocal performances, which enhance and change what I'm doing on my solo performance. Mm-hmm. So it's really kind of great. You can't just dust it off. It is kind of a recreation.
Yeah. We do get a chance to actually streamline things. We look at things and think, did this not work very well last time? How can we get through that again? David wrote another song for Alice that helps to help her transition to realize why she's there in the first place and why she wants to get home.
And that's David Kaiser, who is the local composer who is involved in the creation of the show. I want to talk about him again in a minute. Michael, I wonder if you could maybe talk a little bit. I know that in addition to the fact that you get to play some similar characters, you're working with actors who, in fact, regardless of which fairy tale is being brought back again, it's some of the same actors year after year. Is that part of the appeal for you also to be part of this and work with an ensemble of actors?
Sure, absolutely. You get a feel for these different people when you work in a company or in an ensemble, and you can play off of each other. And so things become fresh and new, and you change things around, and then you start to work directly with the other people. You start to play to the people on stage rather than thinking about your audience, which can be distracting. So if you're thinking about the people on stage and you start to play with them, then you can really make something new happen.
Yeah. Let's talk about the show itself, about Alice in Wonderland. Of course, this follows a familiar tale of a little girl who goes on a sort of a dreamland adventure and following that white rabbit down the hole. But whenever Ensemble picks up these shows and does them, there's a little bit more to it. Joe McDonough, who's a local playwright, has written the scripts for these. And they always have, I don't want to call it a moral, that makes it sound a little too dreary, it seems to me, but there's always sort of a lesson to be made. And I wonder, could you talk a little bit about what the lesson of Alice in Wonderland is this time around?
Well, Alice, she has the idea, the concept here is that Alice has a Wonderland with her all the time. And whenever she needs to learn a lesson, the Wonderland helps her out. We've done this before with Alice, and this is a particularly bad time she's going through, and she really needs to learn a lesson, and she wishes she could be anywhere else but home. And, of course, that opens the door, or the rabbit hole, so to speak, to allow her to come into Wonderland, where we help her learn her lesson. And when she learns it, she goes back home and is quite happy.
And, Sarah, in the retelling of these stories from iteration to iteration, do the characters change a little bit also as the other kinds of lessons are brought forward?
Yes, and it always depends on the actor playing them. One year, Annie Fitzpatrick was the caterpillar, and now Ken Early is the caterpillar. Completely different interpretations of the caterpillar. For example, the last time I was the cat, mine was a little bit more purry, I guess, and friendly. And not that I'm not friendly now, but I'm more of a diva now. And I'm like, if you don't want to listen to me, then that's fine. I'm just going to go do my number. It's fun. It depends on the energy that everyone's putting out. Things do tend to change organically.
Something that I've always enjoyed about the shows at Ensemble Theater for the holidays is that they are shows that parents can take kids to, but parents can have a good time at them too. There's lots of humor that, I don't want to say it goes over the kids' heads, but it's got meaning that will appeal to adults and then stuff that the kids will enjoy too. Can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe give us an example from this show?
Joe and David have always written those things intentionally for that. Also, the cast and Lynn has given us the opportunity to play a little bit. And sometimes someone will say, hey, there's a joke here. Do we mind if we slip this in, or can we get away with this? And she'll run it by her a couple of times and she'll allow those kind of things.
I'll give you an example of the cards. The cards are really wild and funny and big characters.
These are the playing cards.
The playing cards, yes.
That become people.
Yes, that work for the queen, yes. They have this great banter that is old-timey radio comedy show hour. And along with that, Scott Woolley, who is our musical director, has enhanced the parts that they are singing so that they have become a really tight trio of voices. Mm-hmm. So I believe that those sorts of things do appeal to the adults a little bit more than the children, even though they are still funny to the children because they're nutty. Yeah. So.
And then you also do things to engage the kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, if somebody's, I don't know, hiding in plain sight, you'll ask the kids, well, where are they? Or
yeah,
something
right.
thing like that. And that always makes for a great deal of fun. And of course, it usually tickles the adults
yes.
when the kids get carried away with something like this. One of the traditions that I've enjoyed also is that you often come out to the lobby after the show and get to mingle with the kids. Do you have any good stories about things kids have said to you after shows?
Well, you know, doing previews, when all the schools come in, it's all voluntary, but more often than not, the whole cast tends to end up going out there. And when the kids are leaving, they're just to see real human beings. They just brighten up and explode, and you never know how they're going to react. Some kids are scared. Like, oh my gosh, these people are real. And other kids just come over and give you a big hug, and it's this big love fest.
You make a point that I should have mentioned also, that in addition to these public performances, which will start later this week, you also do all these performances for children. I mean, how many are there?
There are nine
previews.
Year.
Okay. And once we start performances, there are 39 actual performances
yes.
with nine previews before.
Oh, man.
So a great opportunity. And those are free performances for kids from schools where arrangements are made to bus them all in.
Yeah, yes. Part of the Fairy Godmother program.
Yeah. Yes.
That must be a great way to start things off. Well, I also want to mention there's a special event that's happening. You open the show Wednesday, and then before and after Thursday, performance, there's a special event. Sarah, do you want to just say a little bit about that?
Yes, it's the Mad Hatter's Tea Party, and it is mostly geared towards adults. We will still be doing the same performance, but there is a party before with terrific hors d'oeuvres and also a hat contest. The Hatter will be judging the hat contest. The Tweedles will be checking your hat if it does not fit inside the door. So that will be going on. And then there is an after party next door at the Taste of Belgium.
Oh, that's wonderful. So keep that in mind. And then throughout the month, this production will be on stage. It runs through the 30th of December. If you'd like more information about the show, about the Mad Hatter Tea Party, or anything else about Ensemble Theater, you'll find a link at wvxu.org. My guests tonight have been Sarah Mackey and Michael Bath, also known as the Cheshire Cat and the White Rabbit. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank
you, Rick.
And best wishes for the holidays.
You too.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Rick Pender.